Today's episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show is brought to you by Target. You can expect more and pay less right at Target. Drop that beat. What you gonna do when you get out of here? I'm gonna have some fun. Father's Day is only a few weeks away, which is why Target puts special dad deals on sale just for him. And if your dad plays golf, you need to check out my Target shopping link, where you will save 40% on men's golf polos, along with other one-day deals. For easy access to this week's deals, look in the show notes located on the app you're listening to right now. Or you could head over to ninababel.com/podcast, where you're going to look for the Target shopping link under episode number 23.
Like, I was drowning in my bed with hot flashes. You feel like you're going a little stir crazy sometimes. You cannot control when you're just going to be sad one day and just want to break down in tears. No woman should be ashamed of that. This is your body. Get to know your body. Nobody needs to know your body better than you.
Welcome back to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast, and you're listening to episode number 23. I'm your host, Nina Babel. All right, this whole menopause thing, I've got to talk about it. Because to me, it signals the end. You're done, your vag is done, we're dry and itchy, and we're sweating bullets from our head. Exciting, right? It's not something that lasts for a few hours either, or goes away overnight by popping a pill or drinking some kind of herbal concoction. Girls, this stuff lasts for years. Do you realize that? Shares with listeners three things. Number one, what women should take prior to and during menopause.
Well, as long as you keep your hormones balanced, menopause is not a problem. Most folks don't have menopause in Asia. Here, they do because of our eating style and the hormonal foods and the processed foods. Because the body doesn't get what it needs to perform its work, so then therefore you get this slack.
Number two, what food should be part of our diet on a regular basis?
And see, like cauliflower, broccoli, all of those things are what they call endo-3 carbinols, which actually helps you balance your hormones. Eat foods that balance, watch extra. Because see, when you don't move, your estrogen level clears out through the bowel. So are you taking like flaxseed and stuff to kind of break that down, you're doing good.
And number three, why women get menopause.
So now, they're out swimming and paddling without a paddle in the water and hoping that the hot flashes won't come. So you have to eat right. Most time you were eating right.
When you're getting hot flashes, that's what that means?
Yeah, you got everything's not balanced like it should. So your iodine level should be good. Your zinc level, your magnesium, your T3. All of those things are important to keep you balanced.
And that's just prior to and during?
Because some of them don't have it. I mean, if you keep your progesterone level balanced and your estrogen, you won't have too many problems with that.
So what is it? By definition, it's something we have to deal with, all of us. Unless you've had a hysterectomy, there's no vanity here. This will be the straight-up truth, no chaser. Again, we're all different when it comes to symptoms, but the overarching theme to menopause is this. If you haven't had a period for over a year or more, girl, you're doomed. Your party has just started. Don't be tardy to this party. Natty's in her 40s. She's married and has a daughter, so she will tell you what her pain point is with menopause.
A tough point where I can actually feel comfortable with the hot flashes, because I'm telling you, my stuff is, I literally feel like someone is roasting my ass. Like, I feel like I'm on a skewer, like being freaking baked.
Alba's in her 50s. She's single and has children. She will tell you what her struggle is, too, because the struggle is real.
I'm going through it right now. It's just terrible. It's just terrible.
So how does that affect your bra?
You get broader, honey. You get bigger. You gain weight. The lack of hormones, there's a lot of changes that go through your body, a lot of changes. And a lot of women will come here, oh my God, after menopause, I gained weight, I got bigger. It's something very familiar to us.
When I asked my circle of friends about menopause, everybody had this cricket response. No one had the answer either, other than the obvious, what we see on television or maybe in person, the hot flashes and the sweating. Nothing beyond that, though. In fact, most of us never even had the conversation with our mothers. We don't remember their behavior, and frankly, our mothers don't even remember their behavior when they were going through this episode.
Whoa. I don't remember her
sweating. My mom
sweating.
Didn't tell me anything either. So
right.
It just, and sisters. I have sisters, but we didn't talk.
Never talked about it, right?
Not about that.
Even now?
No. We really don't. Every now and then, we might, something might just pop out, but because my mom didn't talk to us about it, we just never approached the subject. It's just like, you just don't talk about it. It's just so, you know, if something should come up with somebody, then we might have a discussion. But other than that, it's like, because my mother didn't, we don't. You know, it's kind of like, that's how you do. So it's good to pass that, you know, on to your kids or something. Talk to them, because if you don't, they shut down and they won't talk. And things happen when you won't talk.
I remember my mother's experience in doses. Well, I kind of do. But I will say this. My mother has a meek and mild personality, you know, straight up plain Jane. But let me tell you, during this whole menopause thing, my mom became that extreme biatch. She said some incomprehensible things that I haven't been able to shake to this day. And I go back to my 25th birthday, the day of, and traditionally my mother has always been the first one to call me. But on this day, homegirl didn't pick up the phone, so I decided to give her some time, wait it out until I reached my limit, and it was late afternoon, and I was like, hey, mom, do you know what day it is? Did you remember? Like, it's my birthday? And her response, no lie, no friggin' lie, was like, so what? I brought you in this world, and I can take you out. And then she proceeded to call me an ungrateful bitch. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, is this my present this year? Because I'm ready to give it back and hang up this phone. And I remember calling my grandmother, telling her, and I remember telling my father, and they didn't even say, well, you know what? She's going through menopause. Nobody said anything. Well, there is a positive side to the story, and I don't ever recall seeing my mother sweat to this day. My mother's never been a sweater. So if she wasn't during menopause, then there's some hope for me. Because if it comes down to genes, I will take a bitchy mood over sweating any day. This episode is directed to all my girly nation to understand and educate each other on what will become a normal transition in our lives. Dude, I got some poster girls in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and even 50s who have started, they're done, or they prematurely went into menopause in their 20s. Can you imagine? Anyway, you're gonna hear their stories later. But what is evident about this episode is the fact that we all are in the same boat of not knowing Jack all about this transition. So we start off our lives being labeled as a woman once we get our period. And as we transition to midway through our lives, we're stripped of the most beautiful woman characteristics that defined us in the first place. Now, some of you may be light years removed from this subject and can't relate to it right now. I feel you, I get it, but it's worth listening because everybody's experience is different. And I'm gonna be touching on the most popular surprises, advice, and insight from all of you, including one expert. It's all about preventative maintenance and not waiting until the last minute so you can connect the dots. Baby, I like your stuff. Modern edgy urban. Do you consider yourself a modern edgy urban female with sexy behavior? I thought so. You're in the right place. These greeting cards are designed for the sassy but classy woman with an edge. If you have trouble communicating your feelings in a relationship, maybe you need that nudge to start a difficult conversation, but in a funny, edgy way. Or you just might want to turn up. My line of greeting cards launches next month. So visit www.modernedgyurban.com to get notified of the official launch. And you thought periods, pregnancy, childbirth, PCOS, endometriosis, postpartum, to name a few, weren't enough. There's more, girlfriend. According to this NBC News article, they say on average, menopause misery can last up to 7 years for women. And you know what? They had the nerve to say 10 for African-American women. To think you are bitching about periods today? This is the whole irony of womanhood, this whole menopause thing. But the best way to go through this experience is with a good sense of humor and girly nation of all ages. Nadia comments on the length of menopause and how it could be just a long-ass time.
That's the whole thing. Some people, you know, go through menopause for years and years and years, forever in a day, like my stepmother did. I swear, Kevin said, oh my God, I think Aunt Yvonne is going through menopause for like 10 years now. She was going for a long, long-ass time.
Bridell is African-American, a grandmother in her 60s. She started menopause at the age of 55, but girlfriend wants that whole menopause thing over with.
It's not all the time, but it was like more than I wanted it to be. And it's been going since I was 55, so I'm like, we're going on 9 years now.
Nine?
So I thought it was supposed to end at some point. It's 9 years now, so I'm like, whoa, when does it stop?
I talk to a lot of different women, and from what I see, my research, none of us really know when it's going to stop. I don't think that menopause works that way, though, either. I don't think it ever stops. I think you just go through it for, like, the rest of your life. It's just that it becomes normal after a while, like anything in life. You know, something that you keep going through is going to become a habit. I know for me, just me asking questions, like, I've had one woman tell me that she was going through menopause for 10 years. Are you serious? 10 years? So, you know, like, I don't think any one doctor can tell you what Mother Nature is going to take you on, like how long your journey is going to be, because it's not up to the doctors. It's not up to any medicine. It's fully your body and what your body wants to go through, and you can't stop it.
Again, our mothers didn't share.
I was not aware of it. I don't think I was in any circle that spoke about it.
And I don't remember, to be honest with you. I think I was too little to understand what was going on, if she was going through anything. But I really don't remember her going through menopause or talking about it or anything along those lines.
My mom never complained about that. But then again, Miss Margaret, which has been here for many years also, Miss Margaret said something back then because they didn't know what it was. They didn't talk about it.
You know, it was really sort of taboo.
We never got to really fully understand her history because she was adopted.
This is something we're discovering on our own with no point of reference. Makes you really wonder why we aren't told about menopause or introduced to it in more detail in school. Maybe they just expect our mothers to handle it. So I asked my mother.
I was about 49 years old when that happened. But mind you, I didn't have a bad time of it, but I remember in the night you feel the heat, you know, the heat starts up. And you get up, your body heat, It starts up.
Did you sweat, Mom?
I remember, yes. But the body heat starts up, so you got to remove your blanket, whatever you have on around you. I remember during the night removing it from me because the heat becomes extra. A heat flare up, and your whole body is on fire. So you have to remove the blanket or the covering around you and until I go back to sleep. And then later on, I cover up again and so on. But every night, I go through that, yeah. But it wasn't terrible.
All my mom had was night sweats. Phew! If that's my destiny, I will deal with that hand.
I didn't get a bad time of it, no. It was just an annoyance, that's all. Because you feel the heat, you know, the heat of your body heat just rises, Just suddenly, erupts suddenly in the middle of the night. Not during the day, just in the nighttime.
Oh, so you just had night sweats.
Yeah, that's all I had, yeah. What are you having?
Nothing. Check my mom with her behavior, because as usual, she's in pure denial. All mothers have selective amnesia when it comes to menopause. They don't remember anything about menopause or their behavior.
Your moods were erratic in behavior, not your meek and mild self.
Oh,
Yeah.
Girly Nation had the same but different experiences about learning. They were officially menopausal.
I don't know what I would prefer, to be a bitch, or I don't want to sweat like that.
Well, we don't have a choice. I know. We just get what we get.
I'm just thinking, I'm going to ask my mother if she had sweats. I don't recall seeing that.
So my mother didn't, because she had a hysterectomy. So my mother didn't have any of that. But it's weird, because my girlfriend who had a hysterectomy, and she had a hysterectomy because she was predisposed to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So she did the hysterectomy and did a double mastectomy at 40. She still has some symptoms of menopause, yeah.
Meet Donna. She's in her 50s, single and child-free. She will tell you how she learned about it.
It was probably when I was turning 50 that my interest was piqued. I wanted to know what to expect. And so I've been waiting for something to happen. Because I'm thinking it might be time. I should be experiencing this now. I'm turning 53 in a few months, and then there's still no sign of it knocking at my door. Nothing. I think the only change that I have felt is my cycles have gotten a bit, I guess, more painful. I don't know if that has anything to do with this stage of my life.
Tara's in her 20s, single, and thankfully has both a son and daughter. You'll learn more later about why.
The process of what happened with me, it came spontaneously because I was just out at a barbecue. Everybody was drinking. I was drinking. I came home. I don't remember being like intoxicated, but I remember that I had a couple of drinks and I was feeling really nice. I woke up maybe 3 hours after sleeping from, you know, coming from the barbecue because it was in the daytime. And I just felt so sick and I just kept throwing up. I was throwing up to the point where I couldn't breathe. I live with my aunt and my children at the time. And I was calling my aunt, you know, like I was telling her I couldn't breathe and I was turning blue at the time. And they called the ambulance and we get in the ambulance and the ambulance, they do that test. And, you know, they were already admitting me right before we get to the hospital, which was scary. We get to the hospital, they give me morphine to stop the pain. And, something to stop the nausea. That's the urge I was having. But after so long, I was dry heaving because nothing was coming out. You know what I mean? Like it was just the gag reflex. After about an hour, the doctor comes in and she's like, we're going to take you to Winnie Palmer, which is a woman's hospital here in Orlando, Florida. And she was like, we're going to admit you there because we need to do surgery. I was like, what? Oh my God, what is going on?
How old were you at this point?
I was 25 when this happened. And it happened so fast. Like, I couldn't even grasp what was going on. I remember calling my mom, telling her, you have to meet me at Winnie Palmer. They're transporting me from ORMC, which is Orlando Regional Medical Center, to Winnie Palmer. And she met me there. We spoke with the ovarian oncology group that they had there. They explained it that they did not know if it was really cancer, but there was something there and they wanted to test it. He did tell me that he was going to take out all my ovaries. And at the time, I never really thought about it because I was like, okay, let's go with whatever the doctor says. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What are you going to do? Argue with the doctor when he says he has to take out your ovaries to save your life? So it happened really fast.
And I remember going to the doctor and I said to the doctor, I said, I think I'm in menopause. And she goes, really? I think you're perimenopausal. So she says, okay, when next time you come back, just go to the lab before you come to me and let them do your blood work. I get there and she goes, oh my God, from the baseline to now, like you've dropped this far? Yes.
So what was she looking at? Your estrogen, progesterone?
She was looking at that, and there are some other things that she looked at as well. I can't recall all the details, but there are specific tests that they do to see where you are in terms of your blood levels and where you are in terms of menopause. And yeah, she said, oh my God, you're there.
So I was even curious how close or far I am from this last rung in my ladder of womanhood. I fall in the category of not knowing what to expect and praying and hoping that my healthy lifestyle, you know what, that it will pay off during this period. So I decided to get some blood work done, and I highly recommend a baseline estrogen level test very early in your 30s so that you can prove your point to you that what is happening to your body is in fact true. So what about the symptoms? Most of us don't realize, hey, this is going to be us someday. You know what? I'm going to run through 10 lessons from Girly Nation, starting with the most cliche of them all to the OMG annoying ones that will set the stage with what to expect, what you're going to hear, and how these women managed through it. Number one, hot flashes. This is the big kahuna of them all. Ones we've all heard or seen of.
One thing that I did notice, because like obviously you reflect on like what happened when you go through the whole process, you're like, oh my gosh, how did I not know that this thing was growing inside of me? I remember having a lot of sharp pains in my abdomen area. It would feel like, you know, just a little sharp pain, like nothing too serious. I mean, enough to make you grab your abdomen area and recognize that something just happened, but nothing to the point where I would remember it for the next time to tell my mom or my doctor. Oh my gosh, like I was drowning in my bed with hot flashes. Like the hot flashes were overwhelming. It's been about 3 years now, so they're not nearly as overwhelming as they were. But at first, I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that these women have to go through this. I feel so awful for them. Wow. Meanwhile, I'm going through the same thing because it literally feels like somebody's knocking the breath out of you, just like hits you with a force of hot air and boom.
Wow.
All of a sudden, you're just sweating everywhere.
Number two, sweating. I've witnessed this happen years ago in the workplace, and I think that was my first freak out moment. Ladies, I had this coworker who would just bust a move with her sweating, and I think I was more panicked than she was. I guess my selfish way of thinking was, that's gonna be me one day. It made me really stop in my tracks and say, what is this? These women would pour buckets from their forehead and scare me to death.
It was really bad for like the first 2 years. It just started to slow down. I chose to go the natural route. I don't want to do hormones. They said that my particular mass or those thingamabobbers, whatever you want to call them, they said that those fed off of estrogen in my body. My body was producing so too much estrogen. So with the hormones is mostly estrogen, and that's what you lose when you go into menopause. I'd never gone to the doctor and asked for hormone pills. I'd just gone cold turkey, which is crazy to a lot of people. Now, maybe about 4 or 5 times before every 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending on my mood, because, you know, obviously when you're frustrated, your body temperature goes up. So that provokes a hot flash. Being in a positive, happy mind frame helps a lot. I don't know if it's like that for every single person, but I know for me, it's been that way. Like my moods definitely affect my hot flashes.
What's your biggest symptom? Like, do you sweat?
Sweat, yeah, the heat waves.
Really?
Yeah.
But you haven't sweat since I've been here.
Oh, I'm sweating, honey.
You are?
I'm sweating, yeah. It's, I feel it in my back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Number three, sex drive. We spend a lifetime focused on our sex drive, and we come from a place of being horny. As young women, whether you use toys or have a partner, you're probably wondering what the hell happens now.
Okay, so this is so interesting to have this conversation right now. But when I first went through it, I was like, oh my God, I'm never gonna have an orgasm again. I had all these thoughts going through. I mean, I'm in my prime time when this happened to me, okay? Like, I'm 25.
Yeah.
I'm not ugly by far. So, like, I was really concerned with how my sexual life was going to be. I had this guy that, you know, I was fully comfortable with, and he knew everything I was going through. So, like, I really explained to him how severe everything was and how scared I was because I did not know the body's anatomy like most people do. And I feel kind of embarrassed to admit that right now. I was like, is it going to go in my stomach? Like, there's no ovaries. What is going to stop his, you know, pee whacker? So, like, I was thinking, like, the walls were gone and everything. I was like, what's there? And I, like, literally, who am I going to ask? My 24-year-olds and 25-year-old friends, like, they don't know. So I literally had to ask my aunt. I was like, okay, can you tell me, like, what's going on down there? So she laughed at me hysterically. I was like, haha, joke's on me. So we go through the process and everything, and he took his time. And I was really surprised. Everything was copacetic, A1 down there. You know, it worked very well. And I have to say that my sexual peak has been higher than before. Like, it's kind of bad. Like, I literally have to use my toy every day. Like, I even told you this. If I had a boyfriend, like, I would definitely put him to sleep. Like,
I wonder if it's because you're still young that that has something to do with it.
I don't know, but, like, you know, there's no dryness over here. I mean, waterfalls and everything were great.
But let me ask you this then. So during sex, like, what if you're having a hot flash? Has that ever happened?
Oh, it does all the time. And, like, it's just like a sweaty mess.
I'm thinking I'm not a good person. You know, the sad thing is you're too young for that. I know at your age, that was definitely no issues for me.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. You know, so...
But now that
I'm
older,
you know, I think, you know, as you get older, I don't think it does. I just think that.
Does it slow down?
I just
still have it.
I think you're going to still, it's all in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot to do with everything. And if you're in a good relationship, you're going to want to anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's going to affect that at all.
Number 4, emotions. We already claimed the emotional being card. But Tara says this is really the kicker for her right here, especially with menopause.
I would say the emotions, because you feel like you're going a little stir crazy a little bit sometimes. For me, I'm a single mother. I have 2 children. I'm working on my business blog for branding and marketing and trying to pass my real estate test at the same time. So, like, I have a lot of things going on. So my mind is always going and going and going. And the emotions, like, you cannot control when you're just going to be sad one day and just want to break down in tears. Like, it feels like your tears are, like, on the tip of your eyelid and just ready to fall over. And any little thing, somebody can say something mean or something's not going your way, you just feel emotional. So I think that's the hardest thing for me, because I'm not the most emotional person in the world, but I do seem like it sometimes because... I have so many emotions going on that I can't even control.
Number 5, changes in your cycle. I can't help think that 5 or so years of menopause is still better than 20 years of having a bad period followed by 5 years of bad menopause. What is the lesser of these two evils? Pick your poison. Growing up, Donna describes her periods as always heavy. One noticeable difference between then and now, she references, is the color of her period and how it changed.
That heavy cycle happens to me as well. Maybe around a year and a half ago, I had these heavy, heavy cycles. It actually kind of scared me. I was like, what's going on? Seriously heavy where I could not contain it. I chatted with my doctor and he said, yeah, it's possibly due to that, just wear more pads or change more frequently, right? Like for the first couple of days, it was extremely heavy, extremely. I felt like something was wrong because I've never experienced that. I've had pretty good periods, I must say. I think originally when I started my period when I was a young girl, it was very heavy. At least it seemed heavy because maybe it's something that I never experienced. So it just seemed heavy that I had to change constantly. And then now at the end of I thought it was, you know, coming to the end. And that's what he was saying, it's coming like to the end of your cycle. It was extremely heavy. And for maybe in that 6-month period, then sometimes I would have my period and sometimes I wouldn't. So 6 months later, then I stopped. I'm not having my period. And then maybe 2 months later it comes, but not maybe as heavy. And maybe like a year ago then after that, I had it again heavy. but then it subsided. And sometimes I get it and it's just like, it seems like it's the end of the period, but I don't really have a period, like a full period. It's just a little bit of bleeding and then that's it. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm not in menopause yet. I'm in pre, because after 1 year of not having your period, then you're menopause. So I'm in that pre stages. And I definitely do now. I thought I used to have hot flashes, but they were just, I don't know, it wasn't hot flashes. I am now getting hot flashes. And for me, because I think it's the end stages of my period, it is definitely darker. It's like a really darker red. And so I definitely noticed the change. It actually kind of even goes to the, it looks like it's brown because it's the end. Like it's kind of like it's finishing off, right?
Donna reflects on her period changes.
You know what? Because sometimes my period, I don't have a full period. So, you know, it's kind of like whenever you have your period, you have the period and then you have the last day. I'm like having my last day for like 3 days kind of thing. So it's just dribs and drabs. It's not a full period now.
Bleeding changes. We're used to a set of patterns during our active reproductive years. And then there's a noticeable shift. The OBGYN, let me tell you, they're just going to give you a blanket statement and say, yes, the color of your period does change. They won't tell you how. So make sure you have the evidence to say, hey, it went darker, you know, it's heavier. Give those specifics because they're not going to give you anything else.
And maybe around 2 or 3 months ago, I had a full period, like again, like that, really a lot of blood coming out in the first couple of days. And now 2 months later, I'm thinking that it's done because I didn't have it last month. And I'm having it and it's just like I'm having like my day 5 for 3 days, just the end part. And it's dark.
Period color. How many of you pay attention to your period color and how it changes, whether it's from month to month, year to year? If you're not using a menstrual cup, it's always good practice to become familiar with your period color so that when it changes, you are aware of the change. But when something in your undies looks or feels off, that sounds the Girly Nation alarm bells.
And for me, because I think it's the end stages of my period, it is definitely darker. It's like a really darker red. And so I definitely noticed the change. It actually kind of even goes to the, it looks like it's brown because it's the end. Like it's kind of like it's finishing off, right?
It's like a deep red. And that has always been the case, which I always feel good when I see that consistent color. Because I think I had seen on Dr. Oz, he'd gone through like the different color of the various women's blood, and the color that mine represents tells me it's good color. So that's what I've been looking at for the last few years, and it's still consistently the same color.
With her premature ovarian failure, Tara describes the difference between having a period and menopause.
No period, no odors whatsoever. It's like Aquafina. And that's one thing that is different too, because, you know, women, we naturally have odors. Like, I don't care, you could be the cleanest female in the world, but something you eat can change your odor. So you have no odor whatsoever down there when you have no period or ovaries. And that, I think it was amazing. I love it.
Want to know what women in their 20s need to know? Then check out The Friggin' Truth. It's The Real by Nina, a full holy grail rundown of love, sex, dating, and health commandments for every woman. You can get a free copy by going to www.ninababel.com/The Friggin' Truth. Number 6, vaginal discharge. This is a woman's joy juice. For real. This is one of the reasons why women complain. The dryness, the itchiness. And in her case, Tara is still young, so she's got a lot of joy juice. In fact, her joy juice meter still registers in the bedroom.
None whatsoever. Like, I remember having a lot of discharge growing up, and I always was like that female that was like looking up what the color was and stuff, just because like you want to know, you're like, it's coming out of you. I was always that female that could pick up her underwear and wanted to smell it to know what's going on with myself. And I feel that no woman should be ashamed of that. This is your body. Get to know your body. Nobody needs to know your body better than you. And you need to know every smell. You need to document the day. You need to know that, okay, last month I was smelling a little bit like asparagus. This month it was a little bit fishy, so I got to change something up. You know what I mean? Like, it could be your water intake. It could be your vitamin C intake. Like, there's so many factors that come into discharge that people don't realize. Well, women don't realize. They think that discharge is just to let you know that you have an STD. That's not true. Discharge tells you so many different things. And the more that you become familiar with your discharge, then the more you know what's going on in with your body. And you can talk to your doctor and y'all can converse about what's going on.
Are you dry? Or?
That you do experience that, yeah, because you do experience. But then they got stuff for that, so it's not a big deal.
Number 7, embarrassment. Remember, on my podcast, we celebrate embarrassment even if it's totally cray-cray. Here's 3 different takes on embarrassment from these women who are going through menopause.
You know, it's a life thing, right? And it doesn't matter if it's a male. It's usually females I'm around, but if it's males, I'm okay. I'll just fan myself, whatever. And they kind of recognize what it is as well. Like, they understand, I guess, because the people around me are in that age group. So I'm really not embarrassed about it because it's life.
It does. It happens all the time. Like, for me, I get embarrassed kind of when I'm sweating because I feel like everybody's staring at me and like, oh my gosh, this waterfall's at the top of my head and you cannot control it. And like, literally your nose is wet, your bottom lip's wet, like everything's soaking wet.
Wow.
So like, I do get a little embarrassed still because, for instance, if I'm having a conversation that it's like a heated conversation and I'm really excited about it, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad mood. It could be like a really excited mood. And, you know, just the fact that my body temperature is rising, the hot flash will come over me. And I'll be like, ooh, give me a second. Because you kind of lose your breath for a second.
I had one embarrassing moment. One of my better friends, she lives in Washington, D.C. And I went on a trip, bus trip. Group of us went on a trip to Washington and I had a period and I don't usually, I had stopped for like about 6 months and then this thing appeared and I mean my dress, everything was total mess. So when I got to Washington, she took me into this store, Burlington, I think it was.
Coat Factory.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I stripped everything. I threw in the garbage. She got me new clothes.
Okay.
That I remembered, yeah. That was my embarrassing time. But all the other times, it's just the, you know, you sweat a lot. And so I had handkerchiefs. Or I always had, most of the time I was prepared.
Number 8, night sweats. Women talk about the pools of sweat that drenches them or wets their clothing at night.
So what are the pills for?
Hormone replacement.
And how long you do that for, like, your duration of menopause?
No, actually, so initially when she wanted to prescribe them, I'm like, no, I'm not taking those. But girl, when those hot flashes start hitting, because that's been my only thing in terms of menopause, hot flashes, the only thing. I swear to you, I've gotten nicer. Like I said, that damn lady on the phone, she would have gotten a whole bunch of stuff if I wasn't as nice as I am now. But that's it. I don't have like this mood swing that most people tend to have. The only issue I have is overheating.
And those pills help you with that?
They help a lot. So I stopped taking them because my prescription ended just before I went to Ecuador. It was horrible at night. Kevin was like, yeah, I would get up and I clearly would notice that you're like this because the sheets are off of you. And then the next thing I see you, you're like this. He's like, yeah, I figured something was wrong.
You're in a sleep and you just feel this heat. Again, it's like somebody's plugged your body into an electrical heating system and you get very, very hot and literally you are sweating. Like my clothing is not, some people I've heard it's like water, like really, really wet. Mine is maybe not to that degree, but it is wet. It's like damp, right? My clothing. And sometimes like you don't even want to sleep in clothing. Like I get to the point that I actually have to take that off as well. Like I used to have a duvet on my bed. I don't have a duvet anymore. I just have like a sheet and a light, not even a like another kind of a sheet material on top. Like that's it. I don't have a duvet. I don't have a blanket. In the winter, I don't need it because my body's warm in the night now because of these sweats.
And so summer is uncomfortable for you, or it will be, right?
Well, you know what the thing is? I do wear a Fitbit, so, and that has been an interesting thing, and it tells you about your sleeping patterns. So it allows me to know how often I wake up in the night and how often I have unsettled sleep. And it's because of the sweat in the night, because you're up, you put the covers off, and you're tossing and turning. And then once the heat goes away, you put the covers on and you try to get back to sleep. So it's given me an understanding of my rhythm up and down in terms of sleep patterns. Probably a good 4 to 5 times a night, and it can represent around 30 to 45 minutes. Sometimes I get up myself to go to the washroom, and that's a thing about, I'm not sure if that's a thing about menopause also, going to the washroom, or it's a thing about aging and your bladder, but that's another thing. I do go to the washroom a good 2 times, sometimes 3 times a night, and I'm diabetic, so I'm not sure if that's a part of it as well, but in the past I would go once a night, but now I find it's increased.
Number 9, health regimen. Wellness is always a big part of your journey as a woman, but more importantly, finding what works for you, whether you choose to go the natural route or the prescriptive route. There are foods to certainly avoid and foods that will help you minimize your symptoms.
So at 25, you're having night sweats, you're having hot flashes, and you're doing it natural without any hormone replacement therapy. So if someone chooses to go the natural route, what would you tell them or what would you make them aware of?
I would definitely be aware of your mind frame. I say that because if you're not at peace with yourself, you tend to have more hot flashes because you're more aggravated, you're more frustrated, everything that comes at you, it just seems like it's so much. You don't really pay attention to what's going on in your life. You're just going through the motions. I noticed once I started like really doing yoga and really focusing on my breathing, I stopped having as many hot flashes, which is really weird to me. But I spoke to an older woman who's about 87 years old in my yoga class. And, you know, I asked her, like, what's your youth method? Because she can do those poses better than I can. And she was saying that it was breathing. And she never had really a problem with her menopause because of the fact that she learned her breathing. And it's weird, but they all play a factor with each other. I do hot yoga. Hot yoga is where you're in 80-degree room and you're doing all these different motions, and it's really intense because it's fast. I like the happy hour. You can do it at home. It's more of the meditation part. So if you're not into doing every single little thing, I just say that every day you need to collect your thoughts and be accountable that your body is going through these changes and you cannot stop it. You cannot control it. You're not going to control the fact that you just put on all your Bobbi Brown makeup and you're sweating it off 15 minutes later. It's uncontrollable. So once you realize this, then you start to understand that this is just what my body's going through and I need to let it to adapt. As far as energy, I don't have as much energy as I used to have. I used to clean homes and I used to clean like 4 homes a day. I couldn't do that if my life depended on it. So I started taking B12, which helps a lot. Green extract, coffee bean pills, those help a lot. I take black co-op. I saw that in a group that I was in, a woman was raving about it for her hot flashes. For me particularly, it didn't work, but it might work for somebody else. That's why I'm mentioning it. I know that melatonin helps me a lot with my sleeping because that's another factor. You have sleep insomnia a lot when you're going through menopause. So melatonin has been my lifesaver. No, it's just like it wakes you up like, knock, knock, I'm here. We're getting ready to wet the whole bed.
Oh,
but I don't have those night sweats like that anymore. Every now and then I'll have one. And it used to be really bad because like my clothes would be so soaked and you know, if you slept naked, it was even worse because then you would freeze. But it hasn't been that bad in a while, I must say. And I think it has to do with the fact that I'm focusing more on my body, meditating more, eating healthier, drinking lots and lots and lots and lots of more water. Like, that's one thing for sure. Like, I cannot drink sodas, anything that has sugar in it. It just makes me feel sick. I have to drink nothing but water, Perrier, lemon water, all that. So the hot flashes are nothing you can prepare for. They just come whenever they want. And then the nighttime, they just wake you up. And sometimes you can go back to sleep, but sometimes I can't go back to sleep. So it just depends on the day, you know, how tired you are and all that.
Number 10, self-care advice. Again, the whole key is preventative maintenance and prepping your body way in advance to minimize the symptoms as much as possible. You don't know what hand you're going to be dealt, but here's some tips from each of these women on what has worked for them.
That's it. So if you feel hot, then you're able to take off that sweater or that extra top, and then you have an armhole, something, so it allows you to not be so hot. And then when the cold comes back or you feel back to normal temperature, then you can put it back on.
Attitude, expectations. Do not expect just as things come, you deal with it, and it's part of life. It's going to happen. So might as well you find a way to deal with your discomfort. You know, you cannot get away from it. It is part of life. It is going to happen. So when it comes, just embrace it. Deal with it. Whatever it is, deal with it. If you know you're going to be hot in the summer, especially, you get an air conditioner. You wear light clothing. You eat, just research and find out what are the foods to avoid, what are the drinks to avoid, and you do it and don't complain. Because the more you complain, the more miserable you feel. So do not complain. I guess I've taken it for granted. It's not there anymore. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about being pregnant if I have sex, or I have to buy pads or tampons, or I might have. I used to suffer with stomach aches. I used to be vomiting. No, for me, it doesn't make me less of a woman because I don't have my period anymore.
Every woman's case is different. My particular case was very different. They nicked my intestines. So particles that were supposed to go out of my anal area came out of my vagina area, and like was really scary. I remember when they did the testing, like they put the thing inside of your anal area, which they could have gave me an sedative because I was like, oh my God. And then all the fluids came through my vagina area. And I, you know, like they couldn't even say what was wrong, but I knew something was wrong and I was so scared. I actually ended up changing my doctor because of it. Because, like, after that, I just didn't trust him. And I was like, I felt violated. I felt like nobody was being truly honest with me because, you know, they're saying I had cancer, but I didn't have cancer, yet you took my ovaries. Like, I was really going through it with the doctors. I even, like, spoke to some lawyers because I felt violated. I didn't know what was going on. So, you know, like after seeing other doctors and them telling me that certain things can't be controlled during surgery, I had to get second opinions and stuff. And that was something that was scary for me because I kept telling my mom, my aunt, people around me, like, you know, I don't think that everything was right down there. Something was wrong because this keeps coming out. And even the doctor at the time was telling me that, oh, it's just, you know, the particles from the surgery, you're going to bleed a little bit and da, 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 da. But that wasn't the case whatsoever. Like, my stuff was backwards. Everything that happens in that first year is critical. I would say having a journal and documenting every single little thing is vital for a peace of mind. So that way, when you go there, you know. And if something, you know, wasn't to be right, you can correct it right away instead of it getting worse, you know?
And so, like, you weren't given the opportunity to even prepare for it. It was just like, bam, this is what you're going to go through as a result of, you know, having your ovaries removed.
There was no preparation whatsoever. The doctors didn't say, hey, this is what's going to happen. I mean, like, still to this day, I kind of wish that me and my mother would have took a day or two. But the doctor was like, if you leave the hospital, your insurance isn't going to pay for it. And then, you know, I don't know if I can treat you again. Like, he made it seem like it was a now or you're going to die. And for that, I will never forgive that doctor for, because I would never pressure any young woman into something like that. Now, I would have never did it. I would have kept my ovaries and I would have went to a second doctor and got a second opinion. And I would have told him, you know, this is what I want. How can we make this happen without me dying? And I didn't have that opportunity because everything happened so fast. And everything that they said seemed so critical. And it was like a now or you're going to die. So me going back, I say for any young woman that if the doctor wants to take your ovaries, I say they better have a damn good reason, because we're young. You're taking a part of us that will never get back. And you literally feel like something has been taken from you. Still to this day, I feel like something is missing inside of me. And it's my ovaries.
And those pills help you with that?
They help a lot. So I stopped taking them because my prescription ended just before I went to Ecuador. It was horrible at night. Kevin was like, yeah, I would get up and I clearly would notice that you're like this because the sheets are off of you. And then the next thing I see you, you're like this. He's like, yeah, I figured something was wrong. So I'm going back to the doctor this coming Friday. I'm like, oh my God, please give me back my prescription. Every now and then I like to take a little break. So I figure from then to now, a whole month, I'm going to wait till Friday to get my new prescription and go fill it. But they're really good. I've not had any side effects from the medication, nothing whatsoever.
I'm 51, so I have now maybe 4 years, and it's driving me crazy.
4 years?
Yeah, I try to go without any medication, but about 6 months ago, I had to go back to my GYN and said I cannot take it. So now I'm taking some kind of, yeah.
If you're young and still dating, Tara offers up her firsthand experiences and even letdowns when it comes to being menopausal and trying to find a husband.
Obviously, you're dating young men who would aspire.
99% don't have children.
Right. So do you feel, I don't want to use the word embarrassed, but shy or embarrassed or nervous?
Nervous, not embarrassed. You feel shameful. Like, you feel like you cannot produce what they might need. I was talking to this guy, and I will never forget this because I was crushed, and it was like in the first year. So, you know, everything was sensitive the first year.
Right.
And I don't know how I met him. I think I met him through a friend, and we were out, and then he took my number. So he was calling me, and he was on some business trip in Tampa. And he was like, you're so beautiful. You're so gorgeous. He was like, you make such pretty babies, da 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 da. And I was like, I just like am a blunt person. So I kind of like volunteered the information, which I won't do anymore. I was like, well, you won't be getting any babies out of this oven. No easy baking over here. He was like, well, gosh, you know, that's kind of a bummer because, you know, there's no use in us even talking anymore.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, this is real. Like,
right.
I'm never going to have a husband. He didn't even, like, look at my personality like, babe, can we talk about the fact that, you know, another woman can be my incubator? Like, there was no options whatsoever. And, yeah, that's when it was really reality. Like, this is going to be, it's like, dating's not even going to be the same anymore. Like, everything's upside down. You know, I'm still trying to figure that out. I was talking to a guy. I told you I met him online when we were talking about the online dating. And I chose not to tell him in the beginning. We went on maybe our second date. And then, like, I was telling my friend, I was like, I have to get this off my chest because, like, he has no kids. He's young. Like, I need to let him know what's up because my grandmother, she pretty much told me, like, oh, well, you're going to be single for the rest of your life. You could go get some cats and dogs. So I was like, oh, I got to have this conversation. So it was really hard because you know, obviously now we're talking about it and I was able to prepare a little bit and say, it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about it and get it out there. But when you're talking about it with somebody that you might potentially want to be with, it's really hard because you're pretty much letting them know that you can't give them what they might want one day. It's hard. Like, no matter how you put the conversation, it's hard. And it's so hard to fix your mouth to say, I cannot have children for you. So if that's what you're seeking, I just want to let you know right now that it's going to be something that we're going to have to look into other options for. You know what I mean? Like, I've prepared my whole family. Like, I have two sisters that are my biological sisters, and I have two stepsisters. I let them all know. One of your eggs are coming with me. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I'm just letting you know.
Right.
So it's tough. Dating is very tough.
One honorable mention is early menopause. Women can start this journey as early as their late teens or early 20s, believe it or not. Tara was in her late 20s, and in her case, she experienced premature ovarian failure.
He said that it was so corroded with the mass, these mass tumors, that he had to take both. They told me they would try to save one, but that didn't happen.
These were tumors that you had?
They call them mass, and then they refer to them as tumors once you get to the ovarian stage, which they say that this is the way they explained it, that you have the cancer, but you don't have the cancer. You have the cancer cells, which could progress into cancer, but you don't have the cancer, which doesn't make sense to me still to this day. I never knew really anything about menopause either.
Until you get older, right?
Until you get forced in it, not really get older.
Did they explain that to you, that, you know, this is because we're taking your ovaries out, like this is what's going to happen next?
Well, they said, okay, you're going to go through menopause, but they didn't tell me that I was going to feel like a 40-year-old woman, you know, like every day. Like, they didn't tell me, like, I really feel, in my honest opinion, and this is something I'm going to speak about a lot, you know, when I do my speaking gigs and stuff like that, I really feel that the doctors should prepare the women for the emotional issues, because it's 10 times worse than having a child. Like, I've had children, and the postpartum for it is not as severe as it is with menopause. And especially for a young woman, I mean, like, it was very hard. You're changing. So many changes are happening so rapidly, so fast. You have no clue what's going on. Before, your emotions were like a roller coaster because you're like going through your 20s. But now it's really a roller coaster. Like, you literally feel happy one day, sad the next, mad the next. Like, it's crazy.
I know personally that I will never have children, but I just feel so empty inside if I lost the ability or was even forced to give up that part of my womanhood.
I was in shock, and I was really depressed afterwards, because although I have children, I'm not married yet. So it was a big, hard thing to swallow, that the fact that I won't be able to give my husband a child. What if he doesn't have children? And, you know, it was definitely different. But the thing is, mostly looking back, is that I never understood how many young women this happens to. After going online, joining in different groups and forums, there's a lot of girls that are from 21 to 25 getting their ovaries taken from them, and they don't even have the opportunity to have children.
They say always listen to your body's warning signals. Your body will always, always, always tell you when something's wrong. So take heed and listen. According to Alba, your back and boobs expand during menopause. Imagine that.
Your body will speak to you.
Okay.
You'll see that, you'll feel the changes.
Oh.
Absolutely. Remember that every woman is different.
Yeah.
Every woman is different. So it doesn't mean that
you're
going to go through exactly.
Yeah. Did your mom have the same type?
We were just talking about that today. My mom never complained about that. But then again, Miss Margaret, which has been here for many years also, Ms. Margaret said something back then because they didn't know what it was. They didn't even talk about it. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss. So if you think about, you know what I mean? It's just that we're more advanced. We read a little bit more. Technology is out there.
Internet, right.
So back when my grandmother and my they know what was happening.
Right. They didn't.
They know what was happening. Yeah. Right. They couldn't label it. There
right.
was not a label for it.
We go through all stages of our lives really trying to love the woman we've become and get used to that new part of our personality, whether it's our bodies or our lifestyle. It's a slow process full of hurdles, and it's a process that repeats itself. The important thing to remember, it's just a natural occurrence in our lives, and we'll all get through it together. There's so many other things to worry about in life. This ain't one of them. It will happen regardless. We'll get through it and it will pass.
I don't know what I would prefer, to be a bitch or I don't want to sweat like that.
But we don't have a choice.
I know.
We just get what we get.
Worry is one thing, but I really still think it's important to know what happens to your body when it comes to menopause and being prepared way in advance. Don't forget to ask your mother so you really know what demons you're going to be up against when it's your turn to go through menopause. Remember, like everything else, it's about diet and exercise and incorporating this lifestyle from early o'clock. And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. Remember, we celebrate embarrassment, and I'm going to suggest things to you all the time that makes you say, has Nina lost her mind? Trust me, girlfriends, there's always a reason why. I make a suggestion, poke your brains, ask you questions that push you out of your comfort zone. It's never random or planned. But help me spread the word. Don't forget to share the show with your girlies. Email me a question or personal story to feedback@ninababel.com. Was this episode good for you? New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girls Show we drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to leave a review for the show in iTunes. I rely on it because it helps me stand out from the crowd. It helps women understand themselves better, and you know what? It makes me more visible. You can search for the Keep It 100 Girls Show, then you're going to click on the podcast icon on your smartphone. You're going to select review, click 5 stars, enter the title, type your review, and press submit. That's it. Connect with me on social media because I love Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And with all of them, you could use the handle @NinaBabel. Don't forget to subscribe to The Friggin' Truth, which can be found on ninababel.com. I got some future episodes lined up over the next couple of months. But before I do that, I want to make sure that what I cover is useful to all of you. Would you just do me a favor and leave me a comment on my blog, send me a tweet, write a review, or send me a snap just to tell me? You can also check out my videos on YouTube by typing in the search field Nina Babel. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I'm going to be right back on Thursday dropping another episode of Morning Sip. If you missed episode 1 of this new show, my Uber driver refers to his past failed marriage as, "This ain't what I signed up for." Join me when I flip the script this week with a sequel. Women need to remind ourselves to marry someone who loves you and not you love them. Don't miss it, and let's keep it 100. Smooches!